B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
We will start with a follow-up story. A court in Slovenia on Friday sentenced a 22-year-old woman to 2 years in prison, and I'll bring you back up to speed on this story if you don't remember it, because she deliberately cut off her hand with a circular saw to make a fraudulent insurance claim. The district court said Julia Aldisic had agreed with her boyfriend to have her left hand severed above the wrist at their home early in 2019.
You're the best girlfriend ever.
She was found guilty of attempted insurance fraud. About a year earlier, she had signed contracts with five different insurance companies. The woman stood to collect more than 1 million euros, about half paid immediately, and the rest in regular monthly installments. Her boyfriend was sentenced to 3 years in prison, while his father received a one-year suspended sentence. The pair had taken her to the hospital, saying that she had injured herself while sawing branches. Authorities said they left the severed hand behind rather than bringing it to the hospital to ensure disability was permanent. But police,
oh, my God.
Police recovered the hand, and they were able to reattach it.
Besides, who's cutting branches with a circular saw?
Yeah, exactly. Prosecutor said that days before the incident, Aldisic's partner searched for information on the internet about how artificial hands work, and they claimed that this was another proof that it was done deliberately. During the trial, the woman claimed innocence, saying that she would never have cut off her hand deliberately. But they were found guilty. It was an eventful Monday morning for Bexar County Sheriff's deputies pursuing two suspects. They were involved in an attempted robbery, said Sheriff Javier Salazar. The incident caught the attention of deputies who tried to follow and arrest the suspects. But after ditching the getaway vehicle that was used, the perpetrator's crime spree continued when one of the men tried to carjack a man. And the man said, "That's my mama's truck, so I can't let him have my mama's truck." I seen him unwrapping a gun, and he had it wrapped up in a bunch of T-shirts, and so I pushed the door open a little more, and I took off running. I ran out, and in the middle of 78, but the suspect was determined. The suspect ran to the Evergreen Lube stop and stole a car that was in the middle of getting its oil changed.
Wow. The owner, that's persistent.
Muhammad Kadar said that he was down in the oil pit, and it just begun to drain the oil from the Honda. God. When it started rolling backwards, the oil plug was still in the guy's hand.
Oh, my God.
He said, "I was shocked." He said that he went the back way, and I saw police come in, and the front way, and I stopped the police. I told him that he stole the car, and the police went back chasing him again.
So was there an oil trail coming from underneath the car?
Steve Salazar said it wasn't hard for the deputies to follow the oil-covered car, which was leaving behind a trail of oil. The car eventually came to stop after a small collision with a patrol car, and the suspect took off on foot, leaving behind his gun. After a foot chase and scuffle with two deputies, the man was shocked with a taser and arrested. It's unclear when the second suspect was apprehended, but they had no idea they were leaving behind that trail.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
A 61-year-old man accused of swinging a 5-foot tree branch at passing motorists and tapping on windows got locked up. The case of the alleged wood-wielding dude happened when a deputy went to the area regarding a guy in a Hawaiian shirt and khaki shorts who was looking impaired and stopping traffic.
It's like aggressive Jimmy Buffett.
Investigators said a man swinging a tree branch that was approximately 5 feet in length at passing vehicles as he was standing in the middle of the roadway. The man smelled of booze. He told investigators that he had imbibed a single Four Loko. A woman told deputies that the man had had vehicles stopped, and he was tapping on their windows with the branch.
Hi!
He was arrested on a disorderly intoxication charge. A top Brazilian expert on isolated Amazon tribes was killed by an arrow that struck him in the chest as he approached an indigenous site.
This happens periodically.
Yeah. Raylee Francisicado had died on Wednesday in a remote region in northwestern Brazil. He was in the area to monitor a tribe as part of his work for the government's indigenous agency called FUNAI. The indigenous group had no ability to distinguish between a friend or a foe from the outside world. Witness said that Mr. Franciscato and his party came under fire as they approached an indigenous group. He was accompanied by police and attempted to take shelter behind a vehicle, but he was struck in the chest by an arrow. A policeman who witnessed the incident said Mr. Franciscato had managed to remove the arrow, which had hit him above the heart. He cried out, pulled the arrow out of his chest, ran about 50 yards, and collapsed lifeless.
You're dealing with completely isolated tribes that have not seen anything from the outside world. I remember there was this one, the guy recounting a story of flying over one of these places, one of these villages in a helicopter, and they started firing arrows.
Yeah.
They thought it was some sort of creature from the air.
Yeah. A photojournalist in The Reason said that Mr. Franciscato, I'm having a hard time saying that name. Yeah, Franciscato.
How about Lou Weissman?
Had
Francisco, that's fun to say.
Had been trying to serve a tribe known as the Cartario River Isolated Group. Mr. Uchida, who had also witnessed the incident, said the tribe was usually a peaceful group, but this time there were just five armed men. It was a war party that had shown up. So,
if you want to see a fun little film, watch Green Inferno.
Yeah,
that's
heard.
That's a fun party film about this subject matter.
Yep. All right, and then one last story. An Altoona man is facing charges after throwing frozen pizzas at a store manager who told him to wear a mask. Officers were called.
Like discs?
I think so, yeah. Officers, if you're going to throw something
like
that's really going to work.
A frisbee, yeah.
Officers were called to the Giant Eagle for a disturbance, and police say 35-year-old Patrick Steiner assaulted a manager inside the store before fleeing the scene. The manager was able to provide police with registration of his vehicle and was later stopped.
He's like the Captain America of pizza.
They say further investigation. He's like bounces off three different walls ding, and ding, then ding. Hits the guy in the head. They say further investigation revealed that the manager had approached Steiner as Steiner refused to wear a mask inside the store. Steiner then started throwing boxes of frozen pizzas at the manager before fleeing. Authorities say Steiner's been charged with summary disorderly conduct and harassment as well.
Captain Pizza.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
DNA fingerprints, silver gun, and bizarre Facebook tirade led them to a man suspected of sexually attacking a woman nearly 20 years ago, Tampa police said. Antonio Rivers, who was 19 at the time of the attack, was charged just this past Tuesday with sexual battery with a deadly weapon and armed burglary of a dwelling. The woman was attacked December 17, 2000, when she returned to the house that she shared with her sister and encountered a masked man who was already inside her home. She told police that he pointed a silver pistol at her. A sexual assault forensic exam was conducted, which included a sample of the attacker's DNA, but no match was found in the DNA database. So almost 6 months later, a Tampa police officer tried to pull over Rivers for something else as he ran from police. He tossed a silver pistol. He was eventually caught and the gun was recovered. Now, he told investigators that he'd had the gun for about 2 years. So several years went by, and then in January, this past January, a latent fingerprint specialist reanalyzed two right palm prints taken from the crime scene in 2000. They matched Rivers' jail booking records, and they also learned from his 2001 arrest that he carried a silver pistol during the time of the sexual assault. Now, detectives spoke to the woman and her sister again. Neither said they knew this guy, but the woman told them about a strange Facebook message she received in 2014, so 14 years after this event. She said that Antonio Rivers sent her a profane tirade that made no sense to her at the time. She forwarded the message to police, who said the account appeared to belong to the same Rivers under investigation. Police did not offer details on the message. So they obtained a search warrant that allowed them to take a DNA sample from Rivers. They also questioned about the attack in 2000. Rivers denied ever being at the crime scene, denied knowing or recognizing the victim, and stated his DNA, prints, or hairs should not be found at the crime scene. But the DNA lab reported they came back and showed that Rivers' DNA matched the sample taken at the attack, and he was arrested.
Wow. It's amazing.
So this, just think about this, though. This evil bastard did this to a woman he didn't even know in 2000, and 14 years later sent her some profane tirade on Facebook.
What kind of demon does that?
Just evil. Just flat out evil.
There's a similar story, Chris. I don't know if he just popped up in the news, but it was 36 years after a 14-year-old girl was raped and murdered, they finally got the guy. And this is in Rochester. But, I mean, these people that stay on it and look, I mean, the off chance that they matched those fingerprints and saw that and brought closure, but horrible, horrible.
Yeah, and this lunatic's off the street now, which is great. Man who was seen running naked along I-94 in Michigan Thursday night died after he was hit and run over while on the highway. Michigan State Police received calls around 9:30 p.m. regarding a naked man running on eastbound I-94.
He didn't put any reflective tape on his bare ass?
I guess not. They then began taking calls that the man was hit and run over by another driver. When police arrived on the scene, they administered first aid on the man before he was transported to the hospital. However, the man was pronounced dead.
That's horrible.
He arrived at the hospital, but...
When you go jogging naked, you do mostly residential, right?
Well, I don't go on the interstate.
Yeah, that's incredibly dangerous.
Yeah. Employees at a gym in the Netherlands received a scare Thursday morning when an 8-foot king cobra showed up right outside of the building.
Leave it in the gym.
Dennis Verwege, the manager of the Club Pelican Gym, said that the employee was moving some pipes stacked next to the building when he uncovered the snake.
God, a king cobra.
Verwege said that he thought the employee was pranking him until he saw a video of the unexpected reptile. The Amersfoot Animal Ambulance Service was summoned to the scene. They called the snake expert to assist.
It was the longest, thinnest ambulance they'd ever seen.
With a capture when they noted the snake size and identified its species, a venomous king cobra.
How did it get there?
They said the snake expert told them that the king cobra is native to tropical climates and was moving slowly due to the colder temperatures. The snake was likely an escaped pet. You know, my pet king cobra.
Pet it. Hey, he likes you.
The snake expert agreed to take the cobra home and care for it until its owner could be located. Wow. All right, and then we'll do one more story, and then we will wrap this up. Police said three teenage girls have been arrested with the case of a missing duck. Officer said the girls took quackers.
Quackers?
Out of a pen at Grove Garden Center Nursery.
Quackers is missing.
She was recovering after getting attacked by a raccoon. The owner of the nursery said photos from social media showed the girls taking the duck to the town beach.
I want you to return my duck.
And a house party.
I have a very specific set of skills.
They've been charged with 6th-degree larceny, trespassing in 3rd-degree, and conspiracy to commit larceny in the 6th-degree.
Little bastards.
Quackers is still missing, though.
Oh, no.
I know. They need to track down Quackers. And that is what I have in the Bizarre File for you at this point in time.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.